Let me just start off today by saying I am so glad you're here today as we continue on in this series on who God is for you. I love this series and that we're just taking a look at different aspects of God and just fleshing them out and seeing what they mean for our lives. And so today I want to just start with a question. How many of you guys would agree that we're living in a world that is experiencing consistent and constant change? Everybody, right? I was reflecting on this week, and I came up with some stuff. My parents moved here back in 1982, which I realized when I was in seventh grade was like my parents saying 1942, which makes me feel super old. But the reality is they moved here back in 82, and at that time, Bell Road was the end of the Phoenix universe. It just was. In fact, in Scottsdale, Shea Road was the end of the Phoenix universe. And yet I was talking to people about this church, and it was built in 1963, and they'll echo that. They'll say, this church was built out in the middle of nowhere, which is weird for us today because it's almost inner city. I mean, we're inside the loop. I mean, it's just crazy how much this valley has changed. In fact, Phoenix, maybe Vegas are two of the areas that have changed probably more than anything else in our country in those recent years. I'll give you another one. 20 years ago, some more recent history, my sister and her then husband bought a house in Queen Creek. That time, there was nothing in Queen Creek. They had to drive 45 minutes to the grocery store. I thought, you're insane. Why in the world would you be building a house way out there? I mean, it's going to take years for anything to get out there. Today, there's a Walmart at the end of that street and shopping basically any store you want within, 5 minutes driving distance. It's crazy. And I was thinking about even the last 5 to 10 years, how things have changed in our world. So I was doing some research, and in the last 5 or 10 years, these are some of the things that have been introduced to us that we kind of take for as commonplace today. Technology, for example, has brought us things like file sharing and group chat platforms like Zoom that let us work from our homes. Social media has changed the way we share our opinions, market our businesses, and share our pictures. Alexa and other virtual home assistants have connected us nonstop to the internet, allowing us to control our lights, AC, about any other appliance that we have in our house, even our hot water heater I can control from my phone. Virtual payment systems have changed the way we pay for things. Then with the advent of wireless earbuds, self-driving cars, ride-sharing apps, and dating apps, and then with COVID gone wild, right, we can now worship online. We can now go to the grocery store and pick up our stuff, order all that stuff online. You can go to the doctor's visit online, which I think is just crazy, except I think of some of the doctor's visits I've been to in the past, and you might as well. But the reality is we can do all that, and it's all different, and it's all changed in the last 5 to 10 years. You add hoverboards and fitness trackers to the mix. And really, it feels like we're living in a whole different world than we were just 5 to 10 years ago. The things that people do now today seem like it's so different than 5 to 10 years ago. And there's some cool parts to that. I mean, you can get excited about the latest iPhone or whatever you get excited about. But there's also a downside. In fact, study after study consistently shows that too much change too quickly can cause a lot of stress in our lives. Think losing a loved one. Does that immediately cause stress in your life? I don't care if it's quick or slow, all of a sudden it's different and it's harder and the thing that used to be there isn't there and everything is now different and you got to fill that hole that's there. It's just harder. But losing a job, instantly your life has changed. In fact, it's interesting. A few years ago, Dr. Thomas Holmes said that there's 43 different kinds of things in life that create stress. And when they build up in your life, you're going to have trouble emotionally, and mentally, and physically, and in every other kind of way. Alvin Toffler, in one of his books, talks about how people today are looking for points of stability in their lives as a result. Something that they can count on, something that they can just know is true, something that they can know is always there, so that they can find some kind of security, some kind of, home base, so that when everything else is changing around them, people can look at something constant, something consistent, something, that give security. So is there anything in our world today that you would say is permanent? Is there anything that is reliable that never changes? And the answer, God says, is absolutely. I mean, we're doing this series, and one of the things that God says, if you notice the title, is that God doesn't change. And he shares this answer for us in James 1:17, where it says this, "Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." In other words, James is telling us here that the answer to this question is God. God never changes. And this is a simple fact that theologians have been calling for years, the immutability of God, another 10-cent word you can use this week. In Malachi 3:6, it gets even clearer. It says, "I, the Lord, do not change." In other words, God says, "I'm always the same. I've always been, I will always be. I spoke things into being. I created you, knitted you together in your mother's womb. I know what you need. I know what you don't need. I know what works well for you. I know what doesn't work well for you. I know the path to salvation. All these things are the same from beginning to end because I am the Lord that is perfect. And because I'm perfect, I'm never going to get any better and I'm never going to get any worse. But my promise to you is because of that, I'll never change. Now you start thinking, what are the implications to that? I think we struggle with this. I think we do. Because we're imperfect. Because we do change. Because everything we experience in this life seems to change except for God. For example, we're constantly changing the way we think and we act and we look and we talk. When I was in Texas, I talked with a drawl. Now I don't. I don't really know why. I thought the drawl was cool. I can't keep it. I don't know. But no matter how much I change, God says I never will. And the reality, again, is that there's so much stress in our world today because, I think, of change, because of different situations, because of new circumstances that present themselves. So this morning, I wanted to talk about how do you stabilize your life in the midst of continual and constant change. And to do that, I want to take a look at three things that God promises never change because he never changes. I mean, there's actually some implications to our life that are huge in this. And one of the first ones I want to give you this morning is just this. God's love for you never changes. And I think we need to remind ourselves of that pretty continually as we go through life. In Jeremiah 31:3, God says this, I have loved you with an everlasting love, one that does not stop. In other words, you were created to be loved by God. You are an object of God's love, and God's love is consistent and continual. We talked about that. I think one of the reasons we get frustrated with our relationships today, I think, is because people do change. People are very fickle. They change from one day to the next. I shared my dating history when I was in my 20s, and it went like this. I was dumped, I was dumped, I was dumped, dumped, dumped. Why was that? I was the same, I thought, but it just didn't work out. And so we get frustrated. You hear phrases and statements to talking with people. He's just not the man I married. Or, I don't know what's happened to my kid. My sweet child has become this rebellious teenager. Or I don't even recognize him anymore. I don't recognize her anymore. Unpredictable. Inconsistent. And it causes a lot of stress in our lives. In fact, relationships cause the number one amount of stress in our lives. When you have difficulty with your spouse or with your kids or with your friends or with your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, it just causes enormous stress. What's changed? I don't think it was me. But the Bible says that God always acts like himself, and I love that. He never changes. He never acts out of character. In Psalm 119:15, it says, your love never changes, so save me. Nobody ever says, what's got into God today? No, because he never changes. God is always himself. And the point is this. I don't ever need to get out God's love. If I lose a spouse, I can know that God's right there beside me, that God saw what was going to happen in advance, that he grieves with me as I'm grieving my spouse, that he's already got plans for me in the future, plans on this earth, because he still has purpose for me, that he'll be with me every step of the way. His love never goes away. And he's working, even behind the scenes, working all things for the good of those who love him. I know there's this tendency in life that when things go wrong, all of a sudden we get mad at God. But stop doing that. Run to the one who loves you. Run to the one who has plans for you. Run to the one who's got you in his hands. We confuse ourselves when we start thinking God is like everybody else. We confuse ourselves when we think that God doesn't love us anymore. Truth is, we always get into trouble when we doubt God's love. So, when tragedy strikes, and it will, or when we pray and we don't get an immediate answer, or when things don't go our way, just remember that God's love, his promises to you, his care for you, his being for you and not against you, trust and know that will never change. And that gives us stability. Don't you wish you could just trust that your spouse's love would never change? And I pray to God that that's true. Or your kids' love for you and respect for you would never change. Or your friends' love for you and respect for you would never change. We don't live in that world. But God's love never changes. It's a huge deal. Second implication, God's word never changes. It's what he says over and over in his words. The laws, the principles, the commands, he says are timeless. In Isaiah 40, verse 8, it says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. In other words, as a result, the Bible is always relevant. The Bible's always up to date. The Bible's never obsolete. That's why they call it the living word. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away. And yet it's interesting. There's never been a book in history that's been more attacked, criticized, ridiculed, burned, or outlawed than the Bible. Yet today, most of those Caesars and dictators and fanatics are dead. Yet the Bible remains. It has stood the test of time, and even current attacks in China and the Middle East against God's word and rooting out the scriptures in different places, the word remains. In fact, never before has the Bible been more out there than it is today, in print, online, in the airwaves, in terms of TV and radio. It's almost everywhere. His word never changes, he says. And in Psalm 119, verse 152, it says this, long ago I learned from your statutes that you establish them to last forever. The principles that he lays down are made to last forever. Why? Because he created everything. He created us. He knows how we work. He knows what's good for us. None of this is surprising him. These things that he shares with us to protect us, to guide us, to save us, they're always true. So contrary to popular opinion today, God does not invent new rules for every new generation that comes along. He's established them to last forever. But Satan's temptation is always the same, isn't it? He's always trying to get us to question God's word. Did God really say, in fact, what was the first temptation? Satan says to Eve, did God really say you couldn't eat of that? He was trying to get her to question what it is that God said, what she could do, what she couldn't do, whatever. Today, I think that's huge because there's so much biblical literacy in our world today that it's easy to confuse people. Well, what do you think God's word says? Well, I don't know. What do you think it says? And we have these kind of debates on stuff and never go to God's word. Even in the church, I think Satan does this, but I think he puts a little spin on it. He can't say, did God really say? Because we can just go back to his word and look it up. It's black and white. It's right there in the Bible. So what he does in the church is he says this, and you hear this phrase over and over. That's your interpretation. Believing Christians, that's your interpretation. And all of a sudden, you can't use the plain reading of Scripture because, oh, well, that interpretation and this interpretation, they both got to be valid. That doesn't make any sense, though, does it? I mean, how many ways can you interpret a stop sign? I mean, how many ways can you interpret S-T-O-P? Have you ever read through Scripture? It's pretty black and white. Scripture says stuff like this. You shouldn't have any sex outside of marriage. So you know what we should do? We shouldn't have any sex outside of marriage. Scripture says every seventh day you should take a day off and worship me. You know what we should do then? Every seventh day we should take a day off and worship him. It's black and white. There's not too much that's confusing. In fact, there's a truism, and I'll just give it to you. The truth is simple as you go through Scripture. It's not hard to understand. The truth is simple. It's always life that complicates the truth. Let me give you an example of that. I think it's 8 to 10 years ago now, our country was in this big debate over homosexuality and should we mainstream it, should we not? There was still talk at that time, is it sin, is it not sin? Is it a civil right, is it not a civil right? President Obama in his second inaugural speech equated it with civil rights, and so ever since the conversation's been different. In our church, we were having the same kind of conversation, and we were digging into God's word, and we were looking at what it says, and as a result, we wanted to take a stand as a congregation, and we amended our constitution so that we only do heterosexual marriages, right? We don't do same-sex marriages, and as we were pouring through that, we dug into what God said about it. We also dug into how we should treat those that are struggling with that sin, just like any other sin, with compassion and love. It's interesting, though, as we were going through that process, there was a family that was in all those different congregational meetings, and they were troubled by it. In fact, after one of the meetings, I guess the last meeting when we voted, she shared with Mike, who was still here at that time, she said, you know, I never knew the Bible said that. I never knew that that was God's position. I never knew that that's what it said. And then she said, I spent so much of my life kind of advocating for homosexuality. I've marched in the parades and everything. I've wanted to share that compassion. She said, I never knew it was wrong. And in that, there was a beautiful wrestling, wasn't there? I mean, she was confronted with God's word. She was wrestling in her heart over what God had said. It's not a good story because she decided to abandon the truth and go find someplace else that would share what Scripture doesn't say, but shared what she wanted to hear. Oh, that's your interpretation, maybe they would say. See, when life enters in, the truth that's so simple becomes harder to see, doesn't it? Because other things, you get caught up in everything else that seem more important or seem, and we lose sight of the simple truth. And then Satan's won. Satan has convinced us now that up is down and down is up. He's convinced us of something that is not true. In Mark 5:24, then, Jesus says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Jesus said, there's two ways to build a house, two ways to build a life. You can build it on sand, which I guess would be popular opinion, or you can build it on the rock, which would be God's word. And if you don't build on a solid foundation, Jesus says, the whole building will eventually fall over. Why? Because if you're not building on the truth, you're building on a lie and destructiveness and error and complication. You got to have a solid foundation for your life. You need to have a rock on which you can stand in the midst of a world that seems like everything is shifting. God is saying that you need to build your life not on the current fad, the current therapy, the current growth group, or whatever you're reading in the New York Times, USA Today lately, but to realize that those are shifting sands. And you're going to have an unstable life if you keep trying to find that solid ground by buying into every fancy that comes along. Those changes that come into our life, though, are inevitable. Changes politically, changes in our lives, changes with our work, changes with our friendships, changes with our health. And so if you want to have stability when the stresses of life come, you've got to build it on something that never changes. And God says, my love for you never changes. In my word and my promises, they never change. And so it will always be the right thing to do. It will always be in your best interest because God loves you so much. Now, when you hear things, maybe even the example I just shared, it may seem hard. It may seem unreasonable, unpopular at the moment. Because you know it's in God's word, because you know it's his truth, it will always be the right thing to do. And if you trust that, doesn't that all of a sudden simplify life? Instead of asking, who should I believe? Just thinking about that, how many of you guys believe everything that you see on TV today? Everything that you see online today? Everything you read in the Word of God today? Is that different? Should be. So the question is, why do we spend most of our time online and on TV, stuff that we don't believe, instead of in His Word, something we do profess to believe? Point is, if I want to have stability in my life, stability comes from building my life on God's unchangeable word, clinging to his promises, to his love, to his care. So I don't have to listen to the advice of my friends or of the news networks. They might be just as wrong as I am. But I need to build my life on something that will never change. And that's his word for me. I'll give you another example of life and how it complicates. So during the same time period, 8 to 10 years ago, I was listening to a debate in the church, two theologians. Both knew the Bible backwards and forwards, to be honest. One was sharing a biblical view, one was sharing a new view. And one of the statements that was made during the debate really struck me. The guy that was sharing the new view was saying, it's true. Everything in Scripture, there's a unified testimony in Scripture that homosexuality is a sin, that it's destructive, that it's an abomination. In other words, God hates it. And it's because it's a destroyer toward the individual and society and on. But, he says, I feel like there's a new wind blowing in, right? A new wind of love and compassion blowing into our world today. And I think because of that, we need to accept this. It sounds super spiritual, doesn't it? Super loving, doesn't it? The only problem is it's not built on the truth. God says, my word never changes. My love never changes. Cling to those things and find stability. Cling to those things and find strength. One more thing. God's purpose for my life will never change. And so no matter what happens to you or in you, through you, God's purpose for you will never change in this life. In Isaiah 14:24, it says this, "The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely I have planned it, so it will be, and I have purposed it, so it will stand." So God is at work in human history. It's really his story, isn't it? God's story. And everything is working toward a climax that he has planned from the very beginning of time. To be honest, I'm not all sure what that means. Revelation is a difficult book. But what I do know is this. because of Jesus, I'm going to be on the winning side. You see, he's the one that holds the future, my future, your future, the world's future. And his promise is, I have plans for you. As long as you're breathing on this world, I have a plan and a purpose for you. And those plans are to give you hope. Hope. It's becoming more of a powerful world in our country today. And a future. So what is God's plan for my life? Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, there's something else that has never changed in the history of man, and that's God's plan for salvation. Over the last 2,000 years, there's only been one way to get to know God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And when Jesus was on this earth, he says this, I am the way. I'm not a good way, the best way, one way. I am the way. And his plan has never changed. God's invitation to you has never changed. He wants you to come to him, to establish a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ, to confess your sins and be forgiven, to be able to cling to those promises, to know their truth, to find strength in him, all of that. And so in your life between now and then, and when you die, however long that is, know that you're going to experience changes, many stressful changes, to be honest. And my question to you becomes this. How are you going to respond to those changes when they come? You can't prepare for them because, you know, they aren't predictable. So what are you going to do? How are you going to handle them in the midst of that time? What's going to be your source of stability as you go through them? All of us, as we look back, have experienced a lot of hard stuff, haven't we? God's got us through each one. Praise be to God for that. But how do we handle that in the healthiest possible way? We can look back and look at the ways we handled some of the stuff. It's a mess, and it's amazing that we got through it, and praise be to God that he gave us the strength to get through it. God gives us a different way, a way that's filled with hope and not anger, a way that's filled with security and not stress, a way that's filled with power and not weakness. So my prayer today is this. That you let your source of strength be in the one thing that never changes, God. And as a result, his love that never changes, his word that never changes, his purposes that never changes, and I'll add one more thing, his forgiveness that doesn't change. That's why he sent Jesus, wasn't it? In Psalm 125:1, the psalmist says, those who trust in the Lord are as steady as Mount Zion, unmoved by any circumstance. And that's what I call stability, unmoved by any circumstance. Security, stability, confidence comes from being anchored in the unchangeable God. And when everything else is changing around us, and I believe it is, especially in this throwaway society where nothing seems to last, there's one thing that never changes. Let that give you that rock on which you stand. Let you forever feel loved by God, no matter what you're going through. Let you cling to his truth, knowing that it's always right. And cling to that purpose that he has for you. That purpose of being in heaven with him one day. Purpose of sharing with those people in your life about Jesus so that they can be in heaven with him one day. Cling to those things that do not change. That's my prayer for you today in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Father, I love going through this series, just taking a look at just who you are. The more we get to know you, Lord, I think the more strength and comfort we have in holding on to you no matter what happens in this life, the more perspective it gives, the more strength it gives, the more hope it gives, the greater our capacity to love those people that are around us. But more and more, Lord, it just gives us a sense of peace. The more we get to know you, it gives us a peace that you've got us in this world and that will never, ever change. Thank you for loving us the way you do. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.